Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast. You're on once again with Cheezo. The buys are in the rearview mirror and we all have full teams to talk about. No, we don't. We don't have full teams. And we're going to talk about why. And you can already hear him giggling. It is Pistol. Mate, you're back on a podcast with me and I'm very excited for that. How are you going, champion? How's the buys? How's everything progressing? I want to know all about it.
And I don't want to talk about it. So that's a great combination. Look, I'm glad that they're over as well, but probably for a different reason than most. It was trying and draining, not having a bench going into the buys, managed to get through with minimal donuts, really, just the two in round 18. But then I also had like Marek and Melikan on field for a 37. So essentially only had 14 playing last week for a 19. 24. So my fall continues to just over 3K, unfortunately, but is what it is. I'd say it's only upwards from here, but it's really, really not cheap.
It's really not.
Yeah, how'd you go?
Not too bad. So I had a 2015 this week. Atkins being the sub meant that I had to take Marek's. Marek was my 19th, so I thought I was well positioned. I did technically have 19, but the last two, I might as well be playing with 17, put it that way, Pistol. Not too bad. I didn't cop a single donut during the bye, which I'm really proud about. I've got three trades remaining, and I'll have my 23rd premium with one trade remaining. So all the strategic planning that I had done to this money was going here, and I was planning everything. It just got blown out of the water with Briggs. And now I'm literally walking into, like, over the next 2 weeks, if Oliver and Sicily were available, I could literally just go bang, bang and pick them up and have cash left over. So I'm in a weird position that I have players like Jack Steele on my team that I got to save money, that in hindsight, I could have literally just got Liberatore or Butters and it wouldn't have mattered. So it's interesting how things go, and just a singular good rookie can change the whole dynamic of your season in just a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, look, some things are predictable and others are not, so I wouldn't worry about it. Plus, Oliver's unforeseen 1 to 2 week hamstring that has really reminded
six
me
6 months
of,
now.
It's just reminded me of that Jake Kelly from a couple of years back, his 6 week, 1 week injury where I just held him for 1 week, 6 weeks in a row, and it derailed my season. So feeling.
When did you have Jake Kelly?
Jake Kelly, Josh Kelly.
Oh, right. I was like, what? Jake what Kelly. Are you holding him for 6 weeks for?
I do feel very bad for the Oliver holders. I mean, you can't really predict that one, Chizu. But we'll get into some of the topics. But look, Chizu, this podcast is powered by Code Sports as usual. And last week we did a power rankings on the top premiums to have for the rest of the year. If you missed that one, I'd check that out. It's a pretty good ranking article, if I may say so myself. And I'll let you host because I don't know why I've just taken over the host seat.
That rank, it was pretty rank.
Oh, no, it's a terrible pun.
No, like the ranks were pretty. Like I've said that the wrong way around. We do have some Patreon signups, that we do have to thank. We've got Tyson Jacksick and Jamie Zeslavsky, a Brocklebank. Thank you both for joining and getting a part of the cup for this year. Pistol, we do have to mention that the cup is getting underway this week, and we have totally dedicated our entire Wednesday night. Probably not going to be sleeping adding all these names because we always have 50 people that come in an hour before the deadline and go, oh, have I not followed the instructions you gave me 3 weeks ago that were like really clearly laid out? So I'm looking forward to that, mate. How about you? How are you going with the Excel spreadsheet?
It's definitely underway. There are some spots remaining at the moment. So as you know, first come, first serve, I will say if you can jump in and message us now, if you're one of the late people, just to let us know, that would also save us a little bit of time. Everyone else, you're already taken accounted for. I might post something cheese with everyone that's accounted for so they don't bug us if they're in every day. But anyone who's just signing up now after this podcast is released, or I guess that only did it on Monday, please message us so we can just make sure. Otherwise, yeah, we'll try and get that draw out on the Thursday before the first round starts.
Yep.
So the cutoffs will stop when, teams are announced on Wednesday, we'll
say. Yeah, teams on Wednesday. Whenever we get the Thursday teams, it's going to be cut off. Anything after that, there better be some huge donation to the Cancer Council.
Wednesday teams.
Oh, sorry, teams Wednesday, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that would be a massive donation if it was Thursday. Jeez. yeah, that's going to be... going to be the cutoff pistol because at some point, previous years, we just kind of let people in if they signed up at the start of the round and stuff like that. But the amount of people we have now, we just simply can't do that.
Not with a Thursday night game. If there was a Friday night game, we'd probably be able to. But
yeah,
to
banes of our existence is Thursday night game for me personally. But pistol, that talking about the Cancer Council, mate, I'm going to segue over into that, and you've got some donations to mention.
We do. We have a couple of nice ones here. So thanks everyone for your donations in advance. To Ben McJobe says, donating for a long overdue dumb thing. I traded in Jeremy Cameron at his most expensive price, rather than Butters or Rosie at the cheapest at the time. All this wealth of advice I listen to weekly and I choose to be silly. I'll know now for next year. Unlikely. He says, not me. thanks, team. No, thank you, Ben. That is truly, truly a dumb thing. Sorry. Yep.
Worthy of a donation.
Yep. Dimasy says, infected blister is not my favorite flavored donut. Thank you for your donation.
Birdie bots every flavored donut.
It's not a good flavor. Evil Darbs says, donating for generally being terrible at Supercoach. I'm not going to say the swear words, but thank you for the donation, Evil Darbs. Sibs, dollars for donuts. After 2 years, I've broken the donut duck with a lazy 5 donuts this week. That's not just breaking the duck. That's like the dam has broken. The water is all over the town. It's drowned out. Like this is...
Ducks would like that. That seems it's like true. An absolute, amazing... you would be collecting ducks. I see what's happened.
Anyway, thank you very much for the generous donation. Dimasty, again, has a $30 Cancer Council bet on Humphrey at a 74.5 line. I backed the overs and I'm paying out at 3/4 time. Oof. Yikes. Could have paid out
out at quarter time.
Yeah, damn it. You went quarter, half. There we go. Yeah, the role changed last week. When he had 7% CBAs wasn't great. 0% is even worse. So He's got to go. Watto is Blotto says, I won the Humphrey bet after posting a message on Slack saying he's due for a sub 50. Yay, but boo to my four donuts I've copped this week. Oliver joins Jelly and Cogs on my never again list. Surely not.
Oliver, no, this is the first time he's been injured.
Oliver's
Watto.
I feel like that's you can't say that. Oliver on the never again list.
This is my theory. You want to know this is my conspiracy theory. Because Oliver has never been injured, he didn't know the extent of what hamstring injury he had. So he's like, oh, it's a bit sore. That's a bit weird. And then so he was like, oh, it's probably okay. But he's actually done like a proper hamstring and he doesn't know because he's never been injured before.
It's possible. It's
like the reason that we know that Josh Kelly is going to be back in 4.7 weeks is because I had this one a few years ago. I'll be back on the Thursday after the full moon. Like down to a T, I know exactly what I'm getting.
Yeah, no, I'm aboard. I think that's extremely accurate.
Okay, Pistol, that wraps up the housekeeping. I always love podcasting with you, man. Let's jump into some Supercoach stuff. I think the first thing that I find interesting, like I said off the top, I was really hoping to be done by the end of the buys. Like theoretically, in previous years, we're sort of done round 14, round 15. Coming out of the buys is usually our last upgrade. With the fact that it's round 16 this year and I'm still not finished, I sort of got to a situation where I didn't really have the rookie downgrade options that were looking okay to cash everyone in at the right time. I ended up holding Mitchell and Weddle for another week and got another price rise and stuff out of them. So I sort of delayed the cadence a little bit, and that's now leaving me with one. It's actually leaving me with two upgrades on field left to do, one being converting Briggs into an on-field playing player. But I feel like this year, that little stunt in cash generation between like maybe say round 8 to round 11 or something where we had no rookies has sort of delayed the finalization of our teams a little bit, Pistol. Is that it may not be for everyone, but I just feel like I hit a wall there somewhere.
Yeah, it might just be you. I think there's many people that are finishing off their teams this week. I think that's probably the par of the top 1K would be to completing your side this round.
Yeah.
But look, again, it comes down to the quality of your premiums. So if you're taking an extra week to get two better premiums, that might pay off in the home stretch. But if you're taking 3 weeks to finish your side, you just might be missing out. I mean, it depends who your rookies are in the meantime, but you might be missing out on too many points now you know, you'll just fall in the next couple of weeks and hope that you can make up some points and maybe have some extra trades on the run home. But it's important now. It's like the final times people are trading, and that we're podcast relevant, Chizo.
Yeah, well, I'll let you. I'd love to hear you break this down because you're much on top of this as me. Well, I've been getting a lot of DMs, particularly in Slack at the moment. It's like, should I get, let's say, Ryan this week, or should I wait 2 weeks for Sicily? And that comes down to the opportunity cost in terms of how many points Ryan is going to realistically average, and does Sicily have enough time to make up those points? So I'd love to know your thoughts in someone like, let's take my case. I'll be getting my final upgrade next week. Is there any validity to waiting one extra week to get one less week of Sicily, but his scoring prowess would trump any sort of, I've got all the other gun defenders, so I'd be getting a sub-premium defender, and so should I just wait another week is sort of what I'm getting at.
You could get someone like a Doherty who's...
A sub-premium is what I said.
I don't think he's a sub-premium. He's still in that top echelon. Not in the top echelon, but he's not far from it. You need it depends on your depth. Like all these stuff, every answer is going to be team dependent. But there's a difference between, I think, a Weddle and a Smitch. Probably Smitch seems to be a bit more of a consistently better scorer. So I think that is probably the difference between waiting one extra week or just, you know, getting the upgrade, because you can't really afford to get a 50 on your field when you've got a, you know, full primo side, or when you're playing against other people with a full primo side. So I think if you cop, you know, an 80 from a Smitch and then you get Sicily every week after that, that's probably okay. But getting a 50, you know, that starts to really hurt. I can't give you a definitive answer on what's better. It really depends on the cover of your side. But Yeah, sorry, Chiso.
Yeah, I guess it comes down, do you want one extra week of Luke Ryan versus Sicily or something like that? Is what one of the very common questions I'm getting. Who, like, I'm getting a guy next week instead of Sicily the week after. I think with the limited amount of rounds that we're sort of getting into that area right now, it doesn't really matter how much Sicily or, say, Oliver is going to go from the week afterwards. Is that if you've only got 7 weeks of their scores, they need to be averaging 15 points at least above whoever you bring in this week or next week to even come within cooey of matching them. So the opportunity cost is really getting someone as a genuine, not just like anyone, but getting a genuine premium that is going to score average less than Sicily this week is going to be the safer play than hoping and crossing your fingers that Sicily might have an absolute a baller in the final round just to make up the difference and finish 30 points ahead.
Well, it doesn't have to be 15 unless you're copping a donut, because you still get, you know, your smitch 90. Well, if in a good week, a smitch 90, and then that might be only a, you know, 20 gap or 30 gap that you need to make up. So, yeah, as I said, it just depends on the cover. So it's really hard to tell. One that doesn't depend on the cover as much, Chiso, that's probably a more difficult question, so I like how I got in before you, is people that have limited trades left, you know, in the 4-3-2-1 range, still have one upgrade to make, and they're considering using two trades to get the better player and then have less injury trades remaining, or if they should just go for one of the cheaper premiums instead and have an extra trade remaining. Do you...
Someone like a Mills.
Yeah, is there like a point in which your answer changes, like based on the value of those players you're bringing in, or how do you play it at this time of the year?
My opinion is a little bit strange on this one, Pistol, so feel free to call me out. I think I'm okay going down to, like, say, one trade, but it really depends on the cover. So in my situation at the moment, my cover is going to be Ashcroft at M9 and Smitchell at D7 and F7. That's going to be my cover. So I feel than comfortable going down. Yeah, and that's what the Briggs cash has really done. So it's meant that I don't have to have the Marix as my F7. So I'm personally more than happy going down to one trade, which is what I'm going to be doing, because of the cover I have. If you ask me in the same situation, you're like, oh, I've got... I'm really hoping Constable comes back towards the end of the year, so hopefully I have like an emergency score that I can start looping with. It's just like, that's when I'm like, okay, I would just be sitting on your hands a little bit and slow playing it and maybe keeping one of these rookies just to see what happens, particularly Smitchell with the DPP. But I think it all boils down to is less about how many trades we keep the end of the year and what genuine cover we have that can actually score on field like a Smitchell.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think that's one of the many factors that you need to take into account when you're deciding for yourself. But I think I do probably have a break point of when I would do this and when I wouldn't. So to make it hopefully very clear, is it depends on the quality of player that you're being able to bring in with one trade compared to two trades. And I don't mean it in saying, oh, two trades, get Oliver. I mean, he's ruled out, but just as an example, you know, he's the best player in the game, so it's always going to be worth it. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think you go down to like the cheapest, best player, which probably from my eye here, the cheapest, like top of the range player is probably Sarong, who I expect to go 110 plus, and he's in the 550 range. So I wouldn't use, if I could get Sarong in one trade, or I could use two trades and get anyone above Sarong, I probably would just save the trade and get the Sarong. But if I'm below that threshold and it's going to be, you know, I can either burn two trades to get Sarong or one trade to get, I'll say, Mills, I'm probably burning two trades because I mean, Mills is a different case because a lot of people are getting him at M9, but I'm saying specifically for your last on-field upgrade, like an M8. If you're looking in that Crips range, at 457 on Mills next week, 400, maybe even LDU if he returns this week, 500. These guys have either scoring potential risks, like Cripps has been struggling to score of late. Mills, I think, is probably in that 95 to 100 range. Gut feel probably closer to the 95 than the 100. Yeah. Or the injury proneness, like LDU and Mills are both very injury prone themselves. I feel like at that stage, I'm using one trade to get, I guess, a worse premium. And then I'm probably using my trade I saved on them when they get injured in the future. So I think that's when I would burn the two trades and get someone who I think is in like a different tier of scorer. Whereas I feel like Sarong is the cheapest tier in the top tier, you know, someone that you get. But if you already have him, it varies because it might not be worth, it might be worth getting Mills and saving 200K if the next best cheapest player is like Libba at like 615K. Let's say your midfield's awesome. And that's your next best. And I probably wouldn't do that, you know, for the extra 200K and this extra trade, because there's an extra round, Chizo. So we need to last a long time with one or two or three trades. It's not going to be fun or pretty.
And look, and it's interesting coming from you because, like, you've got a history of not lasting long. running out of trades.
I will probably still run out of trades this year and also still have bad covers as far as my year is concerned. But listen to what I say, don't do what I do.
I think that's absolutely right. Like, case in point is Jack Steele. Like, we penny pinch going, oh, we've got this underpriced premium. Like, I can get him in one trade rather than saving up and getting a Neil, which is one of the instances. Andy Brayshaw was the instance for me.
And for me, it was Neil.
I went the one trade and got Steele instead of Andy Brayshaw. And I would have lost 400 points on that, probably, maybe more. So if you're shopping in the aisle of half, like, limbs hanging off and duct tape holding them together, I'd probably be using the two trades and getting a bona fide. Is that and getting Sarong? Are you on board with that, Pistol? That seemed to be the crux of what you're getting at.
Pretty much. I mean, there's asterisks next to it based on all the other aspects that we've spoken about, but that's kind of how I see it moving forward. But I mean, speaking of people like Mills, Chizo, just to segue into it, next week, not this week, he's going to be about 390, 400K.
I know. Can you imagine at the start of the year? Like, JB wanted to start him.
That's unbelievable price. I mean, if you've got the trade to get him as an M9 to be able to loop, he's typically a high-ceiling player as well. That's bloody awesome. Like, I can't believe being able to have Mills at M9. Like, that's insane. I would definitely recommend doing something like that if you've got the trades to pull that off, for sure.
That's a solid, like, almost 150K underpriced, like, from if he just goes at 100, which is what he was doing before he got injured.
Absolutely. Like, he could also be a cash cow if you needed money for some reason at this stage of the season, which you probably don't.
He's probably going to make more cash than anyone else from this point onwards that we, like, legitimately could bring in. There'll be, like, a random rookie in around 20 that means nothing, but that's an interesting point there, Pistol. Can I... do you have any other, like, in the Callum Mills ilk before I start talking about some expensive guys?
I mean, you can talk about Cripps in that range as well, 457. I feel like...
Keys.
Keys. I mean, the thing is, if you're cheaping out, you may as well cheap out and still get the premium quality that Mills possesses. I think Himmelberg, I don't have in that same category because GWS are playing different style of football than they did last year. He's not able to impact the game in the same way that he was last year. So I don't really expect him. He doesn't look great, to be honest. Like, he looks like a guy that might go 90, but I think he's going to go like 85, which you're paying almost for his average. The guy that does look good at the moment is Ben Keys.
Yeah, I've got to give a special shout out to Mav from my Slack DMs, because every single week for the last month he's been like, Keys? I'll be like, nah, I don't actually need to save money, so I'm not going to get him. But you do you. And then next week, 106, Keys? And then he 2 minutes after lockout, or 2 minutes after he put up 119 this week, he was like, So how about now? And it's like, no, I'm not getting him.
Get
you
Keys.
Do you. You do you. And in this instance, Keys seems okay. Nothing has changed in the last month. Like the reasons that he was scary to begin with are still there. His role could still change.
Absolutely. I mean, look, 78% CBAs didn't really hard tag Dacos.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think... Keys just looked really good in the first quarter. Like, he was tearing us up in that first 10 minutes. And I thought, wow, Keys looks really good in the midfield. And I think the coaches agreed and they just left him there for the rest of the game. Yeah. And he scored well. So as long as he's playing well, he's probably going to be playing more as a midfielder now. And at 462K, I think I might prefer him over Cripps because that DPP flexibility. I'm not sure I prefer him over Mills, but I think he can... He can go around 100-ish.
I probably prefer him to Mills. I reckon if you're taking a risk in that ballpark,
you might as well
take a risk on a guy that's going to go 105, whereas Mills would need a role change.
Yeah, Mills still
played. Like Mills doesn't have the role, whereas Keys will lose it at some point, but he currently does have the role. You see what I'm saying?
Like Mills looked good, but they played West Coast. Hard to really get a... great read, but when he's playing like half forward / wing, I mean, if you look at the CBAs, it's Rowbottom's at 73% and Parker's at 73%, and then the next spots were so evenly split. I know Mills got early sub, but he was only at 24%. He was only on like, I think it was like 38% CBAs when he got subbed out, and then Warner went down all the way down from like his averaging 60 all the way down to 32%. So he dropped off, and Goulden got 24% CBAs, which he'd gotten 24% 3 games in a row. Papley also 24%, a lot of 24%. And Sheldrick's been getting some mid time because Sheldrick can play Chizo. Mm. He looks great.
Rising star.
He looks really good.
Shelley.
He's adding something different to their midfield mix as well. So I think in the form that Sheldrick's in, you've got to give him those 30 to 40% CBAs each week. So I don't see almost any way at all that Mills is going to be an 80% CBA like midfielder for the rest of the year and, you know, average 110 plus. I really think you're shooting in that 95 to 100 range. And as I said earlier, I think just role-wise, he's still going to probably get close to that 95 and 100, but he's talented enough to push higher than that if he wants to.
I thought you were talking about percentage of CBAs for a second there. It took me a second to click.
Nope, sorry. Yeah.
So even last year, he was a really consistent CBA player, except for 2 games where he averaged in the 20, where he got 20%, but he averaged 56% for the year. So like, he doesn't need a drastic amount to be able to convert it into points, but like 20-30% is not the upside that you're really looking for, what I think personally.
Yeah,
so,
but his value, right? So he's going to outscore.
He's absolutely valid. Yeah, not denying that whatsoever.
Absolutely.
The next thing I want to talk about that I do get a lot of questions, and particularly in hashtag this or that in Slack Pistol, is do I get which of the 10 premium guys above 600K do I get this week? It's like I see this question so often. It's like anyone sort of above 560 or 570K right now, if you like them, there's sort of they're fine. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, there's a question that's like Kelly, Butters, Liberatore, Merritt, Petrarca, Brayshaw, and McRae all in one poll. I'm like, dude, just pick the one you want. Like,
there's enough data now, right? So you know what you're buying.
That's right. Like, you sort of, like, the way that I sort of see it is we're nitpicking over the sake of half a point per game, potentially, between some of these guys. And it's like, you know, maybe you could get Libba versus Butters because he's got a season average that's significantly higher. Like, I think a lot of these guys are pretty comparable to each other. They got very similar 3 and 5 round averages, all very similar in price for a reason. As you said, we've got the data. So pick the guy that you want. Because not a single one of them is like 100K under price. Oh, he's such a steal. Like, just have fun with it. Pick the guy that you want.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Speaking of picking the guy you want, Chizo.
Yep.
If you are not in the midfielder buying aisle at Aldi, maybe not even Aldi, we can go to a premium place for our defenders.
Yep.
Who are you looking to finish off your back line? If you've got, I guess I'll shout out some names that most people don't have, I guess, at this stage of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, Doherty, Luke Ryan, perhaps. I mean, I can say Lloyd and Ridley as well, if that helps. Any of these guys vastly better than the other one?
Yeah, Caleb Daniel. Vastly better, I would say no. I think, you know, Houston, Doherty, Ridley, Ryan, I think all of these are very, very similar. I don't personally have one that's sitting higher than the other. The only thing that I would mention is current form, and I think that Rids in the last, particularly the last month, I think he's been fantastic. I can't really put it down to a change in the Bombers' game plan at all. I just feel like it's been a little bit more of a tough run, a bit more ball into the back line without any numbers to back that up, Pistora. I've seen him being a little bit more influential just of recent. I could lean that way, but all of those guys, again, are very, very equal in terms of output recently. I'd probably put, of all those players, I'd almost put Luke Ryan as fourth out of Doherty, Houston, Ridley and Ryan.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't expect that at all, actually. So, yeah, is that just because the other options are better, or you have something that you don't like about Luke Ryan?
I think since Frio have become good, I think this is his first decent score. So when they were getting pumped in the first 6 or 7 rounds of the year was where the majority of his points come from. And I think in the last 2 months, he probably would have averaged 95. And again, just pulling numbers out of nowhere, I know you'll be able to completely refute that.
Yeah, well, I will. no, I think JB had a really interesting point last week on the podcast about Luke Ryan. Just basically about some of the more in-depth, I guess, analysis of him against Melbourne and Richmond, not the previous two games, because as you said, just different role, slower game style, wasn't getting around that much, but he got stuck on the bench at inopportune times in Melbourne and Richmond, and it was his pretty much lowest time on ground games as well. Yeah. And that really impacted his scores. And I mean, got to hand it to JB, because Luke Ryan then bounced back with a extremely high score this week, 143, and I also traded him in. Thanks, JB. So I do think he's probably better than what he's priced at 520K. I think he's decent value. I mean, I'm definitely not expecting him to average 110 for the run home, but
yeah.
I think he's probably that 105 range. I would put him third out of those defenders.
I'm actually going to change my mind. I think Ryan's consistency, he doesn't really have a bad game.
No,
when he has a bad game, you're like, oh, damn, he had an 80.
Yeah.
Well, right. Has he gone sub 80 this year? I don't think he has.
Once, yeah. He got a 70. No, oh, twice. He got this. Oh, I just changed player. So
I'm going to check.
He has not.
No. So, yeah, like, even in that month of poor form, he put out an 83, an 84, an 85, and a 91. So, you know what? I think his consistency is going to help that upside. So when he has these 140 games, he's going to end up averaging better than the other guys just because he doesn't have quite as low a floor. Whereas I feel like Ridley in his bad games at least went below 80, below 70. Mm.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's why below him.
He had an 18, but that's not really his fault.
No, definitely not his fault. But, I mean, you pick your poison with the Doherty versus Houston, really. I mean, they've all got positives.
They've all got negatives. They've all been on a decent run in the last, you know, for at least a couple months at some point this year.
I really like Port's draw, so that's what's appealing to me for Houston, and probably why I'd have him first. Okay. Just the amount of Adelaide Oval games they have left, which is a lot, and the teams that they play when they're not at Adelaide Oval outside of Geelong in Geelong. Which is tough. I think all of the others are pretty solid matchups. Essendon this week at the MCG, and he's got Carlton at Marvel in 18, you know, playing some teams that might not be in the best form. Just, you know, the right time, right place sort of stuff. I think it's all adding up well for Port here. So all their players, that includes Butters and everything, I think they're all on for big ends to the season.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. Essendon's next month is pretty gross, actually. We've got Port, then Adelaide, then the Cats, Western Bulldogs, and then Sydney, then West Coast again, and North again. Woo!
Two wins.
Maybe.
Where do you place Walsh in the conversation? Because it's kind of in the same price bracket now as LDU. Mm. I mean, they're more expensive than Steel. I mean, unless you want to go back to the Steel well, Cripps and Mills. How do you rank those really lower ends? But not, I guess they are premiums. How do you rank those premiums?
I'm still trying to figure out how Walsh can have 40 touches week in, week out for 95 averages. What's going on with him? Like,
his role's bad.
Is his role just literally that terrible? I see him at CBAs. Yeah.
I mean, not many. It's his role is...
pretty gross.
Being that Flanders role from the beginning of the season. He did have 63% CBAs, which was his second highest of the season last week. But honestly, Carlton are not in good form, so they're getting not as much Supercoach pie, and they're really struggling. So,
If I had to take a punt on any of those guys around the 500K, I would be totally happy taking it on Walsh.
Yeah,
because he's the one in that region, other than like, that has the ability to do like 115 like he has in the past, that you just need to hit a little bit of form, and Pistol's fallen over off his chair.
My bad.
I'm holding it together.
Tried to pat the cat and knocked over my microphone, but it's all good.
Whereas like a lot of those guys, we're like, oh, yeah, Mills could come back and average 100. And it's like, yeah, but Walsh could potentially be the one that hits form and goes 115. He's like the only one in that range that I think even has the history of doing that or potential of doing that. So
I just think it's a bit crazy to jump on LDU given his injury history this year.
Yeah. I'm not even going to assess that part of the question. I'm just pretending you didn't ask it.
I like, what do you think of Parrish? I said I like, but I should have finished my appendix. What do you think of Parrish? I'm asking the wrong person here.
Look, he's sexy. He's got a beautiful face. He's fixed his teeth, so he's even getting more sexy. football-wise, Supercoach-wise, I think at his price, the fact that you can get Sarong for cheaper is a pretty obvious slam dunk.
He looked pretty good on the eye test. I thought he
has... now who's saying he's pretty?
I mean, I worry about this injury because it's a reoccurring one. That's already
calf. Happened. Old man calf. That's, he's in his 20s now.
That is worrying to me. I think if you have Sarong and you're desperate at that price range and can't afford any of the better premiums, I wouldn't mind it because he looked quite good and he's been, a top-tier scorer in the past. Like when I say top-tier, you know, he can go 115 plus, whereas all these other guys we're speaking about can't really do that. So... I agree with your assessment, Walsh in that price bracket and maybe Parrish in the one above. And money no objects like Libba, Butters, Petrarca, those sorts of guys. Who are you grabbing?
Mate, we just had this discussion. Pick the one you want.
Yeah, but who are you grabbing?
Who am I grabbing?
You have the money.
Andy Brayshaw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't expect that at all.
Because I could only get Andy Brayshaw this week.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, no. All right. I'll throw it back to you. The same question we've had for the last 2 months straight. Sarong or Brayshaw?
I mean, I still am a little worried about Sarong's ankle, so I would take Brayshaw because of that.
Yep.
But if you were throwing to me my question that I threw to you.
Yeah, which I totally didn't listen to, so go ahead.
I think Petrarca with a rolling Clary one-week injury just seems really good. And if you can't afford him, Lib is still really good. I mean, I think Butters will score really well for the rest of the season. The draw is just so amazing. But the injury proneness is just a little bit scary if you're running low on trades, and Lib seems like the safe slam dunk. So I would probably lean that way if you can't afford Petrarca.
Yeah. Yeah. To put it in perspective, so that I can keep Ashcroft, I'm getting rid of either Johnson or Atkins, and the most expensive player that I can afford is Andy Brayshaw.
Why don't you keep Johnson and get rid of Ashcroft?
Oh, because whoever I don't trade ends up as my M9. So I'm like, I'd probably rather Ashcroft at M9 instead of Johnson.
Ashcroft's role is, I mean, this is so not relevant for 99% of people because basically no one has Ashcroft anymore. But
yeah.
Ashcroft's role, 41% CBAs, starting to fade a little. Don't know, something to think about. Anyway, Chizo, I'm going to throw
If I get rid of Ashcroft, I can get Petrarca, which would be my player I would get.
There we go. Magic is happening live on the podcast. JB Chizo. Let's go a rookie review of the rookies that you would like to get this week, shall we?
Yes, I would get somebody named.
No, I wouldn't.
Wouldn't get someone named. Oh, you're picking specifically loophole players. Like,
so it depends.
To get like, so for my example, I actually have to bring in a 102k defender forward loop so I can actually make him become my bench cover.
Yeah, that's great. You can get Gilby, I think it is, from GWS.
Yeah, that's who I'm going for.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things that you need to think when you're bringing in players. One, if you're bringing them in, if you already have a player at your F7, let's say you have Sheldrick, if you bring in an F8 and you bring in Marek, he's going to block your Sheldrick loop. By blocking the loop, he's not doing your team any service at all. He's making your team worse. So in that case, you actually want to bring in a non-playing player to provide you a loop. And that also goes for what you were saying, Shizo, when you're trying to bring in a player that gives you that DPP flexibility, assuming you're trying to swap Smitch backwards or forwards. And some people have Sheasel or Jay-Z to be able to do that as well, then you also want to get somebody that provides that coverage, I guess we'll call it. And if you were to potentially get someone who's playing, they will block your loophole from being able to come onto the field. So you just need to be careful, I guess, lining that up, because it's actually at some times at this stage of the season not beneficial to get playing players. Like, it might just be best juicing all the money out of them and getting non-playing players instead.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay, next question.
next one. You can, I think, if you want to play
No,
players,
juicy rookies. I want to talk about juicy rookies and Ryan Marek.
Okay, well, he was the example from the last question, but specifically about him, if you don't have forward cover, I mean, he's not going to be good for a cover, but he should still play. I mean, I don't think they're going to pin their 171-point loss specifically on Marek. I mean, it's not his fault and the ball wasn't down there, so he probably gets more gigs, so I would go him at 102K. I think Elijah Hewitt, 140K, only scored 38 points, but randomly had quite a decent number of CBAs. So scoring potential wise, he had 30% CBAs, might be somewhat okay if you were desperate. But honestly, all these guys are no good, Chizo. I mean, if you can get Sheldrick looks really good now. I know hindsight, but is what it is. Otherwise, I can't really recommend any other options that I can see.
I think at this stage, we already have our bench cover. We're just trading in like fillers to access the cash. That's fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you've got plenty bench cover. I mean, you're clearly hoping to choose, I guess, Ashcroft over Johnson. But if you have, I think, some of the more standard options, let's say you've got like Johnson and Wardlaw and Weddle and Mitch, how are you prioritize? Like, which ones out of those, I guess, four would you, how would you order them as like keeping them for season long cover compared to ditching them?
I find the DPP extremely, extremely valuable. So yeah, that's why I've got Smitch over the rest of them, because I can use him and I can also loop him with Sheasel or Zeeble, depending on which one you've got, like if you have both or dumped them at some point. So
yeah,
there's also that aspect to it as well. But I think the points that you get in the defense and forward in terms of a rookie that other players would have, Mitch is like a probably, like if someone has Merritt come on field, if they get an injury versus Mitch is like huge, where I could have Johnson versus Ashcroft at M9 to see who comes on for an injury. And I don't think there's all that much of a difference between those guys that that would be that benefit. So potentially I have been swayed into getting rid of Ashcroft to access more of the cash to get a better upgrade this week. I'd probably put the DPP from the fact that it can cover so much ahead of the rest of them.
Yeah, I actually think that's really smart. I think DPP is probably the most valuable you know, at this stage of the season on those rookies, like our Fife even. I think I'm still valuing Fife above all of these guys because of that DPP. And, you know, Sheldrick is in great form and looks really good, so him too. Winhager as well in that category. I think I would take the DPP, like the Winhager, the Fife, Sheldrick above Wardlaw and probably Johnson even, assuming they're actually used to cover two lines. I mean, if you just have midfield cover and you have forward cover, well then the DPP doesn't really matter much because you're already covering the lines with two different players. But if you don't have that, then I think you've got to prioritize the DPP because more cover across lines is better than no cover in lines just for a slightly better pick, because at the end of the day, these guys are all going to go within the same ballpark.
Yeah. And every time you say lines, it just, the way you say it reminds me of your boy Jared Lyons, just averaging 40 touches and 2 goals a game in the VFL, not getting a game. It must be terrible for your keeper league, mate. I'm really feeling for you. That pretty much wraps up everything we had. We had planned to go through question by question in podcast questions on Slack, mate, but we've actually really hit the nail on the head on every single one of them except for JB's question, which was more of a statement. So we've really just kind of covered everything off, and I appreciate the chat that I've had with you.
Yeah, I'll just read off his statement. All it says is that Chizo is the worst super coacher. That's literally the statement. So thanks, JB. I appreciate the contribution. But
thanks for writing in, JB. We appreciate our fans.
No, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I mean, short one, but hopefully still, I think this is our shortest of the season, hopefully still full of goodies. But we look forward to talking about the cup, seeing how that goes down, round one of the cup. And good luck for the rest of your week this weekend.
And don't forget to check out JB's weekly captaincy video. He does have over on YouTube. He's been absolutely nailing them recently, and he's getting very competent and watchable. And even when he was crook last week, he made a really, really good episode. So make sure to check that out and leave some comments. And you can catch us all on our socials if you haven't got them already. Twitter is Dr_SC for the main page. Chizo_DRSC, Pistol_DRSC, and JB_DRSC. And we'll catch you all in the next Dr. Supercoach appointment.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.